The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Hey, we're going to get back to it. And so if you can come grab a seat, go ahead and get the coffee that you have picked up. That will be great. And we'll get to it. We're doing week two of the series. Andrew and I wanted to teach this, and justice for all. Because a big part of God's heart is the idea of justice. And so it's just kind of neat the way it worked out. As we were praying about what to teach through, we're just both there's just things that are, you know, going on in our lives that we just thought that it would be great, you know, for us to focus on this. And just kind of a cool thing, the very first night as we got down to camp, Louis Giglio was talking a lot about justice. And some of the leaders, some of the kids said, how'd that work? And we just have to say God, because there was a lot of same kind of stuff, you know, that we're going to get into about the human trafficking and, you know, lots of different things that he was focusing on, because he does a lot of stuff with young adults, college students. And it was just kind of neat because the students had just heard that. We had heard that, you know, just this past morning. And then for it to happen was just great. So my name's TJ, if you've not met me. And I'm on staff here as one of the pastors. And if you've not heard me speak before, and I've shared this, I can stutter. So if I start doing that, don't take it as a negative thing. It's something that even in elementary school, I went to speech therapy for. So when God called me to the ministry, I thought he was kidding, of course. And I had one of those, you know, Moses moments of, are you sure this is what you want me to do? And God said, of course, yes, because he likes to use ordinary people, or, you know, people that if we don't have everything together, then he likes to, you know, be strong where we're weak. And so if I start stuttering, pray for me, right? And also don't be discouraged in it, but hopefully be, you know, encouraged as we can move forward through this. So I just want to give that warning, so, you know, so we'll be good to go. But we're going to be looking at justice, and the idea, it's, as anything in life, it is more about heart, okay? And so if we can get in tune with God's heart, and again, justice is just one area of his heart. But things that are going on in the world right now, things that are happening, justice is just kind of, you know, there's just a real movement going on now, and we just want to make sure, you know, that we are covering it. So last week, as we ended, we gave some action steps, and we're going to do that here today also. We've got some information in the back from some great organizations, us with our school supply drive, and lots of ways that we can get involved, you know, making a difference. Because there are things going on for us to get in line with God's heart that are local and that are also global, and that are with our neighbors and also with the neighboring countries. And so we want to make sure that we're focusing on all of it. One of our texts today is Micah 6:8, and I think we're going to have that up. If not, you can flip in your Bibles or on your phones or whatever to Micah 6:8. This is just one of those verses. There's many times that verses, you know, say tons in just a very few words. And this is just kind of at the end. He's, you know, giving instructions. He says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So if we were to do those three things well, to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly, we're going to be in line with Christ. You know, we're going to be working out and living out his character. And interesting that the very first one there is to act justly. One of the things that we talked about during camp as well with our group was the idea of character. And character is really who we are when no one is looking. Because we can all be great when everyone's looking. But our real character, which is kind of what that verse is, you know, acting justly when no one's looking, loving mercy, walking humbly if no one's looking at us. That's our true test of character. And we know that it feels like no one's watching us, right? And it feels like we're getting away with something sometimes, but the reality is God's always watching, you know, not in a guilt way, not in a whatever, but that he always knows. And so we should make sure that we're trying to be living this out. So Some of you probably care lots about justice. And you say, okay, you hear the word justice and fair and whatever, and you think, okay, I am down with that. That's the way I'm cut all the way. You know, very easy to be just and whatever. And maybe there's maybe more of you or others that are more on the mercy side or more on the love side. And again, there, you know, we want to be a balance, and Christ was the perfect balance of, you know, love and truth. You know, or on the love side, we'd say mercy. And, you know, on the justice side, you know, that's the whole truth. But kind of, we're kind of lined up maybe one way or the other. Like, it's much easier for us to be truth and tough love and justice, or maybe on the other side, like mercy and love and all that. And so if you don't know what way you are, and if you have kids, it'll be very easy to find out. Because whatever parent that your kids ask, the one if they can do something, that's probably the love parent, right? They'll just ask the one that's probably going to say yes and have mercy or whatever. And if you don't have kids yet, and you're going to, you will find out that they're going to go with the one that's more on the mercy side when it, you know, comes to asking permission or, hey, sorry, I lost your important whatever, or, you know, whatever. So it'll be very easy for us to do that. But the problem is, many times we get all the way one way or the other. And again, please hear me right. We should have love, and we should have mercy. It both should happen. But we want to try to be in balance with it. And, you know, as we're living this out, as we're living out this, you know, verse, you know, that our text is we want all of it. We want to act justly, and we want to love mercy, and then certainly, you know, be able to walk humbly. But there's one illustration I think that kind of, you know, helps us out with this love and truth deal. And it's the idea of a playground, okay? The Ashland playground here, it's nice. It's like a new playground. Everything's great and everything's awesome. But if it was just a awesome, incredible playground, and let's say it's even better than it is now. It's got like bells and whistles, and it's got water slides. I mean, who knows what? It's like the best playground ever. But it had no fence around it. Okay, it was just this incredible playground with no boundaries at all. And anyone can come in anytime. There's no checking in. Even if it's during school hours, anyone can walk up to it. We would say that would be too much on the all mercy, all love, you know, hey, there's just no, you know, everything's whatever. And we would say that would be unsafe, right? If it was just a playground with no fence, the road's right by it, kids can, you know, run out into the street. The other side is if you had a good playground, decent playground, but you had like Fort Knox walls around it, right? You had like, it's like you couldn't see in it, it's all concrete, there's like security guards checking, you know, like there's like no one gets into it, right? And then that would be wrong on the too much, you know, truth side. But what the balance is, right? I mean, it would be right, you know, all around it, no one's in. And once the kids even step one step on the monkey bar, they get yelled at. It's like, okay, no one wants to go there. So what we would say would be best would be a great playground with, you know, safety around it, with right boundaries, with a right kind of fence, you know, doorway that's not going to be out to the road, and that's that balance. And so as we're living out our faith, as we're trying to give love and also give truth, you know, because God is a holy God, we've got to be lined up at, you know, as that balance. And so as we're looking into justice, all of the justice side, all of that is undercurrented by God's compassion, by his character, his heart for people, and his love for people. And so we just want to make sure that we understand, you know, that is what we want to be lined up as a good balance. So what injustice is, as we're looking at this whole idea of justice and lots of what's going on right now, is that people are seemingly trapped in a thing that isn't their fault, okay? Whether it is, you know, human trafficking, whether it is, a slavery, whether it's even on the small scale of, you know, dealing with a, you know, tough parent, or on the bad side of, that there's abuse at home, or poverty, or hunger, all of these things would be unjust. And so they are seemingly trapped, but we believe God is bigger. And so there's a lot going on in the world right now, and lots of great, you know, organizations that if we partner with them, we can make a difference, not just to do good. Again, this isn't just to do more good things and to, have our calendars filled up more, but to be able to understand God is bigger and to give that redeeming love of Christ into these situations that need help. And so, there's some verses here, that talk about his heart, because it isn't fair that these kids are, dealing with neglect, or kids right here in our county are going to bed hungry, or there's homelessness, or there's all these things. And so we want to be able to understand that God has a heart for this because of his heart for the victims, okay? Not about us doing good things, but about, okay, these people that are out there, we want to make sure that we're showing his true love, his true character for them. Psalm 12:5 says, "Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them." Psalm 10:17-18. Says, "O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed." And Isaiah 1:17 says, "God calls his people to seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow." You know, one of the parts in that is the seek justice. I'm wearing an International Justice Mission shirt. Margaret has one on as well. There's a few of you who are, familiar with it. And in just a few minutes, we're going to watch one of their videos. But they feel that as they're trying to do that, seeking justice and rescue the oppressed and defending the orphan, we are making a difference. They're making a difference in the world because we're trying to, again, live out God's heart as we seek to do this. Go ahead and flip, if you would, to Matthew 23. We've got one passage here that we're going to look at, Matthew 23, verses 23 through 26, if we can pull it up there. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean." A couple things that we see there. On that short list in verse 23, he says, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Those are the things that should be enforced. Obviously, the whole tithing, giving a tenth, even there, the idea of us giving our first and our best is certainly right. But it says you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former, meaning we should still be doing all of the things that we should be doing, giving to him and things like that, but we can't get away from justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And again, 25 and 26, if you can flip it to that, I don't know if you're able to. We do this often, right? We will clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. And so basically what he's saying is, of course, clean the inside of the cup first and then the outside. And one of the worship songs that we sing, "From the Inside Out." Because we can look great, right? And when everyone's looking, we can look shiny and we can look like we have it together. But I certainly don't want to be in this passage of, getting this challenge from Jesus saying, "Well, the inside of your cup and dish are rotten." You can do all those great deeds, you can do whatever, but if the inside isn't right, then it isn't worth anything. Obviously, it is all about heart. And so as we're looking to make a difference, as we're looking to seek justice, as we're looking to all of these things, if we get the most important thing right, if we get our heart right, if we trust him for salvation, if we walk with him, then that's going to happen, and then the outside's going to work out. We've seen that lived out this week from our students. Many of you guys have seen it lived out, you know, in your own lives when you've been going through the motions. I mean, all of us, when we're just going through the motions, is very different than when we get the inside right, you know, and you know, then the outside follows. So I want to watch a short video now, again, just kind of introducing International Justice Mission. Austin's going to play that, and we'll just get back to it. So watch the screens. The reason why I show this is because this is a Christian-based, not just Christian, but they, every day at 11, they stop for staff prayer. They know the only reason they're going to make a difference is through Christ's power. And I got hooked up with them back in like 2007 as I was working on my master's in human services counseling, found out about them, got a curriculum, taught through it with our students, and I followed them more and more, and just felt led to just share that because we, you know, as Andrew and I were talking about justice, it's just neat that there's some great organizations like them, like World Vision, like Compassion International, like many others who are making a difference for the honor of God, for God's kingdom. And so who knows what our future is, you know, supposed to be. We are talking about possibly having one of their speakers come during the month of February near our anniversary time as a church. Like last year, we partnered with the whole Well Project. You know, maybe that is into some, you know, other things. So just be praying about, you know, our next endeavors. And you know, I'll get to it in a little bit. But there is some information in the back if God's moving you, you know, just to be involved because it's just a great, great thing. I'm going to conclude with one passage from camp. I have about 10 minutes, and I'm going to stay at that. So if you could flip real quick to Luke 7. Luke 7, and go put up the scriptures. I appreciate that. This is the idea. This is Jesus' heart. The whole idea about justice, all that's covered here is looking at his heart. And this is one of the passages that Louis talked about during camp. Again, the speaker was Louis Giglio. And this is going to be, you know, showing Jesus' heart because all of it is based on his compassion. So I'm going to just quickly read through this and we'll be done. Starting 11, not long after that, Jesus went to the village Nain. His disciples were with him along with quite a large crowd. I'm reading out of the message, so it's going to be a little different, but you can still certainly follow along. As they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. When Jesus saw her, his heart broke. He said to her, "Don't cry." Then he went over and touched the coffin. The pallbearers stopped. He said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead son sat up and began talking. Jesus presented him to his mother. They all realized they were in a place of holy mystery and that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, "God is back, looking to the needs of his people." The news of Jesus spread all through the country. A couple things there. Jesus saw that this woman was hurt. I mean, we can imagine losing a child. And in fact, one of our counselors down at camp was one of our family members. Her name was Sarah. She's the mother of Marley, and many of you guys have been praying for our family over last year. Marley passed away on New Year's last year from down in Florida. Her mother, Sarah, who is our cousin with Crest and Brandy and Harmony, she was one of our leaders. And what God has done in her life, even losing her daughter and being able to share with these students about the peace that she has from God and that God can work through tough circumstances, it was as powerful as anything else of camp because you see God actually truly working. Because just like in this story, Jesus has touched her because she's been open to it. Jesus saw this woman who son was dead and said his heart broke. Jesus' heart broke for this woman. So Jesus' heart breaks for all those around the world, as you saw in the video, and all those in our county who are going through tough times, right? All of us in here are going through something tough. All of kids who are in poverty and who are hungry right here, his heart broke. So he went over, touched the coffin, said, "Get up," and didn't just go on his way. He then, took the boy and went and presented him to his mother. Again, having that heart of compassion. And he was up, he was talking, he was dead, and now he's alive. So what we see from this, which we saw in Sarah's life, we saw in all of our lives, when Jesus touches dead things, they come alive. And we all have dead things. Whether our soul is spiritually dead, maybe you're out here and you've never trusted Christ. You've never stepped over and said, Jesus, I believe in you. I want you to come into my life. Maybe you have, and there's areas in your life that you would know, you look down deep, they would be dead. There's no life in there. Whether you're, whatever, mad at God or switched around or whatever, when Jesus touches dead things, they come alive. Justice that's going on, poverty, all these things, if we can bring his compassion and his power and his spirit and his life into these situations, the world can be changed. We can change the world here, again, for his glory. And then we need to understand that it is all about him. It is all about his compassion, his kingdom here on earth. And if we can do that, again, as we live out, which is our first verse, Micah 6:8, if we can do that, if we act justly, if we love mercy, and we walk humbly with our God, that's all a part of this. Understanding and believing and saying, Jesus, touch these things in my life that need to be changed. If you guys can go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes, we're going to conclude. The band can come up. Maybe you're out there and you say, I know my soul is not alive. I know that I have never asked Jesus to be real, to come in and say, I've never said, Jesus, I believe in you. Whether I don't understand it all, I believe. In just a few minutes here, in just a few seconds, you're going to have the opportunity to ask him in. And again, there's no magic words. It is all about heart. Even as we look today, this is all about God's heart. So if you're sincere and you just call out to him, like you know, five of our students this week, saying, Jesus, I want to give in. I want to believe. I want you to make my soul alive for you. He will do it. Maybe there's others of you here who know that there are just things that are just dead. And you say, Jesus, I need your touch. I'm already a believer. I already know you. But I want you to rise these things up. You know, you can just be praying that also. So I just want to quiet just for a few seconds. Maybe there's something else from any of the verses about acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly. Again, God can speak to all of us. I want to quiet just for a few seconds for you to just pray. For you to just pray to your Creator, pray to your Savior. So I want it quiet. Let's just focus on him just for a couple minutes. Still with your heads bowed. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're out there and you did just for the very first time. Say, Jesus, please come into my life. Please save me. Please make me alive. I just want to pray for you. I don't want to point you out or anything. If you could just look up at me, maybe it's the first time ever, and you said, I want Jesus to touch me for salvation. If you just did that, would you just look up at me? And now, as we go into our response time, again, just still heads bowed and eyes closed right now. We have the communion tables up here. Jesus is clear in Scripture. He says, you know, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So we have open communion here for believers. These are going to be there. We're going to have prayer teams kind of in the back of the aisles. And also in the back of the room, there's information about International Justice Mission. There are our World Vision Kids that, you know, just need a sponsor, which we looked into last week. There's some information about ACTS, which is a local organization making a difference, and as well information about our school supply drive for us to make the difference even with our own Hope Hill family. So again, all of these are just options. Even as Andrew said last week, there's no guilt here. This is as God is leading for you to respond. Maybe some of you just want to come down and just kind of kneel at the altar here and just pray. Again, you know, just to go talk to one of the people in the back, or to just have all of it. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to go into our worship. There's freedom here for you to respond how God's leading you. God, we love you. We just thank you for this morning. Thank you that, Jesus, when you touch us, when you touch things, truly they come to life. And God, we just thank you for this group. Thank you for this morning. Be with us now. As we worship, as we respond, let us be open to your leading. And God, we ask your spirit to just move and to just convict. If prayers still need to be prayed, we ask you, Jesus, for them to be prayed. If things need to be made right in this room, Jesus, we ask for you to bring walls down. We ask for your touch, for your spirit to just move as we worship you now. In Jesus' name.